2023. Now, next year, 2023, and that's weird, isn't it, saying that, marks the 125th anniversary of an institution that is, well, it's part of our city, it's part of our heritage and our culture as well. It's an institution based here in Liverpool with a worldwide reputation. When the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine was founded by Sir Alfred Jones in 1898, first of its kind, nothing else like it in the world. It was first of its kind. For the past 125 years, it's been on the forefront, cutting-edge research, teaching in the field of tropical medicine. It's right there at the front. And to mark this incredible anniversary, we have been talking to the different people, different departments at LTSM. And one of those is an old friend of BBC Radio Merseyside, Professor Bertie Squire. I'm glad to say we're talking to once again. Professor Bertie, lovely to hear from you on the programme today.
Oh, thank you so much for that very lovely introduction. Thanks.
I was explaining to people at home and whatever they may be doing today about those dark mornings during the pandemic when you and I used to chat, and you were full of reassurance for people, but in a factual way. And we used to do our crumb of comfort that people used to look forward to every week. And that was a massive help to people at the time, wasn't it?
Well, I'm very, very kind of you to say that. It certainly, it does feel as if it was another time, doesn't it? It does feel as if we're almost like a dream until you start thinking about the realities that we went through at that time and how much we didn't know at the beginning and how we had to really communicate some of the uncertainty to begin with. And then as things became clearer and as developments happened, we had to keep updating. But I'm glad that we got through it mostly, didn't we? I mean, with some terrible loss, but we did get through it.
We did get through it, and we did have loss, but we had some positives that came out of that difficult time, and one of those was what you do at the school as well, because you were at the forefront. It was almost like a greyhound out of the traps, you know, the school, because we need this information. We're working on a vaccine. Let's go. And we'd never seen anything like that before, and that happened in our city with you and with the colleagues from the school too. And you know, that is something to be really proud of, I think.
Oh, I think definitely both as an institution for Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, but also for the city, because I'm not sure how many people in the city know that Liverpool recruited more people to the AstraZeneca vaccine trial, the Oxford vaccine trial, than any other centre in the UK. And exactly as you say, that's because the institution, the school, the general population all really stepped up. We had volunteers setting up all of the mechanisms for people to come and participate. And massive tribute to the generosity shown by people in the city for joining in that effort.
It's reassuring now, isn't it, to get back to some kind of normality, even though we know that COVID hasn't gone away and we're moving into those winter months now. But to come out of that and then to work on other projects, like the Light program that you're currently involved with, tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, sure. So my own interest, I think I may have mentioned when in previous interviews, my own interest is in a disease called tuberculosis, which is also, like COVID, transmitted by aerosol, so coughing, but has been around. Many people will know about tuberculosis. It's been in the human population for thousands of years. And I think many people often think, oh, well, that's gone away. But there are about 4,000 people notified with tuberculosis per year in England, and that number hasn't really gone down a lot. There's been some reduction, but there is that kind of rather stubborn number, which translates into about 500 people per year in the Northwest. And then around the world, it's 1.6 million deaths globally, which is more than HIV and malaria put together. And my work and the work of colleagues is really focused on what's happening with the control of tuberculosis outside of the UK, because like COVID, it gets transmitted because of travel. And so we think getting it under control in the in different parts of the world is really safety for all of us. And the work we're doing is with FCDO, the Foreign and Commonwealth Development Office funding, to try and improve the number of men who are diagnosed and treated, because diagnosis and treatment is the way we stop transmission. And there's a complicated set of reasons why approximately two-thirds of tuberculosis transmission in the world is from undetected, untreated men. And so we're trying to look at different ways of improving that.
And as TB affects men more than women, in some countries, that must have a devastating effect on family income as well.
Absolutely. It's not just on it. There's the kind of multiple burden here. There's the impact on family income, but there's also the impact on caring. So if you've got a sick male member in the family, then the caring burden often falls to women in the family. And then there's obviously the impact on children if that person transmits the infection on. So there's a kind of rather unpleasant negative cycle happening here. So the more we could get break into that cycle, get people treated, get them better, improve livelihoods, definitely the better.
And have you put a dent into this with your work? Can you see progress in any way?
So far, I think I don't think we can say we've made a dent in the numbers. Our program only actually started. We managed to get the program of research up and going in the middle of 2020, so in the midst of the pandemic, because we have such fabulous partners in the four African countries where we're working. So that's in Uganda, Kenya, Malawi, and Nigeria. And they were all able to get started. Now, I think the thing we've achieved more there is awareness. So in all of those places and internationally, there's an increasing understanding that actually this problem of undetected, untreated men and the general burden that that has on women and children as well, there's an increasing understanding that that needs attention. And I think that sets us up for, as we begin to demonstrate ways in which we can make that change, it then makes it easier for those countries to pick up our innovations in that way.
Sadly, you mentioned the figures with TB in our country. I think you mentioned it was in the 4,000 cases of TB a year in the UK. Is it unlikely that we'll ever eradicate this? Is it a case of managing how this affects the population? Because many people will remember, and maybe in the 50s and the 60s, there used to be a screening process, wasn't there? There were vans, old vans going round. You'd come and you'd be screened for TB. So is it a case of managing this now, or is eradication just something that's not going to happen?
Well, I'm an optimist on this one. I think we could get rid of tuberculosis completely, honestly. I think we could. It's a question of will. This is a disease that's treatable. And, you know, we can cure cases and we can detect them. And you can see, as a result of what you were just describing, when there were mass screening programs, there was a real rapid reduction in the numbers of cases. And I think if we could do this more effectively globally, then we would really get on top of it. And certainly one of the pieces of work that our team have done with colleagues in Kenya is looked at different ways of doing some of that sort of more automated chest X-ray screening, which I think will help in some circumstances. So I think there are lots of innovations coming down the line, including the one big thing that we've lacked for tuberculosis is a vaccine. And I think there are some promising developments in that space, which we hope to contribute to at LSTM in due course as well. So I think we'll get there. It might not be quite next year, sadly, much as I'd love that, but it's definitely something we should be able to achieve as a human race across the globe.
Well, let's hope that's the case. So the school, LSTM, is about to start its 125th anniversary year. Does your department have anything planned in particular?
Oh, so I think we're working across all of the departments at the school. I'm not sure how many of my colleagues have talked about some of the things that have already happened. So in October, we launched the fundraising campaign at a reception in the House of Commons that was attended by our patron, the Princess Royal. And at that, actually a colleague from one of the other departments, from the Vector Control Department, Professor Charles Wanji, gave a fabulous talk about the importance of the work in collaboration with people and organizations in a range of African countries. He has established a center for research in infectious diseases in Cameroon, which is a great example. And then today we've got the annual Leverhulme lecture here being delivered by Professor Chris Whitty, the Chief Medical Officer for England. People will remember that name from the pandemic.
Of course.
And then he's presenting that a lecture on systematic approach to pandemics and epidemics this evening in the Spine Building in Paddington Village. And all of us are contributing to a £25 million fundraising campaign to build our LSTM's virtual Institute for Resilient Health Systems. So that's a way of us building capacity of technology, infrastructure, people, and systems that generate new knowledge on how to strengthen health systems so that we're better placed to respond to health crises like pandemics.
Well, Bertie, I'm going to leave it there. Thank goodness there's people like yourself and your colleagues who are beavering away behind the scenes to give us all better lives, really. And thank you so much for talking to us. And one day, we'll have a little meet-up and we'll have that coffee that we've been talking about for such a long time.
We definitely should. We definitely should. So, Snelly, thank you for being the crumb of comfort for many of us.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you very much indeed. You take care, Bertie, and congratulations on the anniversary, and no doubt we'll talk again in the not too distant. Thank you very much indeed. There's Professor Bertie Squire from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. 24